And I thought, I'll incorporate this into my message in some sort of clever way. And I'm sure God will speak, you know, and this will really make a point. And you know, it'll really connect with us. Anyway, I didn't get any of that. So I just thought it'd be nice to share them round. Yeah. Have a hero and pass them round. We okay? Are we getting there? At the back? We're right in the back, we're right in front. All right. Well, yeah, we've been doing a series entitled Heroes of Faith. And you will probably recall, although it's been a little bit interspersed with other things that have been going on, including snow last week, but I'm sure you'll recall some of the biblical characters that we've looked at and that we've considered. And these are all recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. Right, are we there? No. Yeah, no. Right, okay. We're there, sort of. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, it's there, isn't it, as an encouragement to us with the list of all these individuals that are named. It's preceded by the, at the end of chapter 10, isn't it? By this verse, it says, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." And we're reminded at the beginning of chapter 11 that faith goes beyond what can be seen. Okay? Faith goes beyond what can be seen. Then we have this list, and there's 16 named individuals there. Not to forget that it also includes the people, it says, that crossed the Red Sea, and it also refers to when the walls of Jericho fell down and talks about the people that marched around it for 7 days. And when you read through that chapter, as we get sort of three quarters of the way through, we're also reminded that faith is equally demonstrated not only by those that have achieved and accomplished things, but those that have endured, those that have maybe been imprisoned, those that have been persecuted, those that have been tortured, and even those that have faced death. And with all of these people, there's something that somehow compels them to act in faith or to operate in faith. Because the faith is motivated by something that is not physically tangible almost. It's something that can't be seen. But neither is it a stupid, blind faith. It is something that fills them with a confidence. It's a confidence in something that they can't actually fully see, but they have that inner confidence. So we have this list of names, and they're retrospectively, we refer to them as heroes. Hero is not actually a biblical term, but we'll go with it for now, okay? Because they're noted for their outstanding faith. And then at the end of chapter 11, I've got to twist slightly because things aren't working at the back. We have these last couple of verses. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Okay. Now what we have to remember is that this is a little snapshot of a communication with the Hebrews. Okay, it's just a little snapshot that we're looking at here. And what I wanted to do this morning was to help us understand the context a little bit, consider what it's saying, and then see what God wants us to understand with its relevance to us. And then at the end, I'm actually going to sort of ask God how he wants us to respond to that. So we're going to actually just spend some time waiting on God at the end and just see, you know, what he brings to our minds. Okay, so to help us to do that, start with, I just wanted to sort of almost zoom out a little bit. And a little bit of information, first of all. So, the letter to the Hebrews. They're uncertain, you know, all the study books and things. They're uncertain, really, is the conclusion as to who actually wrote the letter. Lots of different theories, but it's obviously not important in a sense. It's written about approximately 30 or 40 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So that, for some of the Hebrews that are listening to this letter, that is potentially within their generation. Okay? And the intended audience is that the Hebrews were they were Jews that converted to Christianity. Okay? So they were Jewish Christians. And the general overall theme of Hebrews is to encourage these believers that what they've embarked upon, the journey that they've stepped into, where they're heading, is a far superior way than just following Judaism. Okay? That's the general sort of theme of it. Because the Hebrews were struggling a little bit. I understand that they were under some persecution, but they were under pressure. So they were feeling the difficultness, shall we say, of their daily lives. And as a result, they were in danger of slipping back to some of their old ways of thinking. So they were in danger of slipping back to their old ways of doing things. And we know that they would have had their roots in Judaism. And if you think about it, that would have been not only the people that this letter is addressed to, but also like the generation before them, and no doubt the generation before them. You know, so their culture and their heritage is quite strong all in that one sort of area. And that would have been quite a sort of organized, structured approach. It would have been quite legalistic. Almost a sort of institutional way of thinking. You know, and they sort of believed that the Messiah would come at one day and would rule as king, as a physical king. And they would become a favored people. You know, so the struggles would sort of disappear, wouldn't they? That's what they were sort of thinking. In their old way of thinking. And this letter is about encouraging them to put their trust in Jesus and to continue on the journey that they've started. Okay? So it's to continue to begin to operate with faith. And this is so much better than their previous way of living. And you'll find that, not loads of times, but throughout Hebrews, you'll see the words more, greater, better. It's all trying to communicate that this God has got a better way for them to live now. Okay. So when we recall these biblical characters, the Hebrews would have held them in awe and high respect, I think, for their achievements. And what this is saying to them is that God has something even better for us. God has something even better than what they've achieved. You see, these well-known people, shall we say, these famous people to them, they lived and they died before Jesus Christ walked on the earth, okay? And when Jesus came, he lived, and then he was crucified, wasn't he? And he paid the sacrifice for their sins. So what that meant was that they didn't suffer the condemnation that perhaps they deserved, but they were actually blessed with a relationship with God the Father. So not only was that true for the heroes of faith, shall we say, but that was also true for the Hebrews that were receiving this. Okay? And this was something that Judaism could not achieve. So the combination of all of that going on actually blesses them with an unblemished relationship with God the Father, which is better than what they had before. Okay? It's better than what they had before. It's more than that, what they expected, and it's greater than anything Judaism could offer. So in the same way, perhaps they could be called heroes as well. Okay? It's amazing, although I know it's entirely obvious, how much culture affects people's behaviour. It influences their lives, what they do, what they eat, how they think, etc., etc. For good as well as for bad. You know, there's good things about different cultures as well as perhaps not so good things about different cultures. And as I said, the Hebrews would have had their roots in Judaism. So they would have had a culture that was heavily rooted in that. And so that would inevitably affect how they thought and how they lived their lives at that moment in time. Just the same as we do. You know, we have a culture. And as a church we have a culture. As individuals we have a culture. As a nation we have a culture. And it affects how we live our lives and influences our thinkings to some degree. And the funny thing is, it's quite obvious, isn't it, to look at people and say, oh, that's because it's their culture. But what is really weird is sometimes you don't look at yourself and think, I think like that because of my culture. It's so obvious when you look at somebody else, but not so apparent when you look at yourself. Now, here's the thing. I consider myself to be relatively open-minded, shall I say. You know, I don't sort of prejudice people or people groups and things like that. That's how I sort of consider myself. And to be honest, I've hesitated to give this illustration, this personal illustration publicly, but it's one I feel God actually is really prompting me to do, okay? Some of you will recall, I think it was last year, was it last year when we had a team from Eastgate come here? Sometime last year we had a team from Eastgate come here, and we had a gathering on, was it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it was all about healing, okay? And I know that some people were really blessed with that, and that's great, you know, that's really good. And if I'm honest with you, at the start, I didn't connect with it, okay? I didn't connect with it. I couldn't identify with what was going on. And I just, somehow, something wasn't resonating with me. And it was partway through the Saturday, and I was mumbling about this with God. And you know what God said to me? He said, Bob, Is it because the team that's come consists of women and it doesn't consist of any men? That's what he said to me. And I thought to myself, I said, you know what, God? Actually, I think you might have a point. You might have a point. And the point is that part of my church experience, part of the culture that I've grown up in, had actually influenced my thinking in that way. I'm not saying that's a healthy way to think, but I'm just trying to illustrate how that was somehow affecting my thinking. And of course, what that meant was, it was affecting the spiritual atmosphere that I was sitting in. Okay? Which in turn was potentially, I think, restricting God's activity. Now imagine if everybody felt like that. You know, how that unhealthy atmosphere, shall we say, could propagate. Okay? So perhaps you can see how... The funny thing is, I didn't think I thought like that, you see, that's my point. I didn't realise. You know, because I could argue all sorts of cases completely opposite to that. And I didn't realise how things of the past had actually infiltrated my thinking. And this is a situation that the Hebrews were in. And you can see how their culture was actually affecting how they thought and thereby restricting their faith and putting that sort of a limit on it, which is unlike the list of heroes in the earlier part of chapter 11, because what they, how they operated was that they could somehow see, feel, or sense some sort of heavenly reality. And they were confident that one day that would actually be their experience. So although they couldn't see it, and maybe weren't experiencing it right at that moment in time, something inside them gave them a confidence that ultimately that would be their experience. There was a truth behind it and a strength behind it. Now we know that when Jesus came, he brought a heavenly culture when he came and walked on this earth. And it is very countercultural to what was there at the time. And I think as a church, that's not the first time we've heard that. That's not the first time, you know, we've looked at that. And I think we have an understanding of that to a degree. And I guess the challenge is for us is to surrender our culture to allow kingdom culture to fully saturate our lives. Okay, so that's to surrender our culture to allow kingdom culture to fully saturate our lives. I'm not saying that everything's bad about our culture. If you think about it, the good bits of our culture and other people's culture, I'm sure will be incorporated in kingdom culture, okay? You know, I'm not saying that everything's bad, but the point is that we need to, in a sense, put aside our thinking at times and allow God to saturate our heart and minds with heavenly thinking. And this is exactly what the Hebrews were struggling with. Okay? This is exactly what the Hebrews were struggling with. And I'm sure we can identify at times how we can struggle with that very same thing as well. Now I know, and I'm sure many of you that have been here a while know that our culture as a church is changing in a really healthy way, in a really exciting way. And I would say our culture has changed. Yes, we've got, I'm sure we've got more to do, and more to be influenced by God in how we think and in how we operate. But as a little bit of an aside at the moment, I just wanted to say that I can remember as a church when we were sort of quite regimented in what we did and how we thought. We were quite structured in what we did. And things have changed, and it's our culture that's changed because it's changed our thinking. And I know that Richard and Jacqueline here, God spoke to them several years ago about this. I think it was when you were in Canada. Yeah, Kansas. And they were spoken over that they would be major players in a change of culture. Okay? And I know, because of what they've said since then, that at the time they didn't really understand what all that was about. But you know, just like those heroes of faith, I think there was something going on there that compelled them to pursue it. Do you understand? You know, and I think that there's something that compelled them to pursue it. And that's been for the good of us all. I really do think that. It's been for the good of us all. Yes, there's further down the journey I'm sure to go. And what God is saying to us as a church right now is there is something better. There's still more. There's still something greater than what you're living in now. You see, when we do things, you know, and if you think of us as a church, when we do things, we sort of operate and we find a level. And then very often we just sort of continue at that level and it becomes the norm. And God is saying to us right now, I've got something more. There's something more for you. And in a sense, we have to break from what has become our norm to go beyond that, to experience, to live out more of God's kingdom. God has something greater for us. Now, as I sort of touched on really, the author of this letter has distinguished between two people groups in one sense here. What he's done is he's identified the people that were listed there that were before Jesus Christ came and walked on the earth. And then he's talking to the Hebrews who are living after Jesus has paid the price on the cross. So there's these two groups, and what he's saying is that the death of Jesus on the cross, the crucifixion, actually was the redeeming thing for both groups, for both people. So it's as if together they can both benefit and be blessed by that perfect relationship now with God the Father. Because that's how God sees them now, as unblemished, perfect people. And of course, using that logic, anybody, shall we say, that lives after the resurrection, like us, is also included in that group. Okay? We're also included in that group. So that means that we can enjoy the same benefit. We can be blessed. We can enjoy that unblemished relationship with God the Father, because that is how he sees us. That is how he sees us. And it's important to realize that that group of people, that us, actually includes people that yet don't know or haven't responded to the gospel. Okay? So it's wider than just us. It includes people that you work with. It includes people in your family. It includes people in your street, you know, that as yet haven't responded to the gospel. So they too, with us, with the Hebrews, with the Old Testament characters, can be heroes of the faith. That is the potential, and that is the truth that's there. We don't often think of it in quite that way. And what we have is hero limiting factors that operate in our minds. And this is where our way of thinking, our culture, influences us. Okay? And it can limit us. And it can limit our faith. And hence it can limit the journey that God wants to take us on. And we think a couple of things. We think a couple of things when we think about heroes. We think, not me. I'm no hero. Not me. And then we think, well, certainly not them. Certainly not them. And that's often how we can slip into that sort of thought pattern. And I know this seems really simple, but I felt God say this is really a big issue for us as a church. It really is a big issue. You see, we think, not me. That's reserved for people that are special, isn't it? You know, that's reserved for people that must pray a lot and people that read the Bible every day and people that stand at the front and people, you know, are people with responsibility. And I've not been well anyway. So, you know, that I couldn't do it. You know, I'm no hero. And, well, I'm very busy. I'm busy, you know, so it doesn't include me, obviously, you know. That's can be how we think. And then we look around us and then think, well, I know it doesn't include me, but there's no way it includes them. No way it includes them. I mean, they're no better than me, are they? And that's what we think. They're no better than me. Anyway, they're too old. Too young. And I heard them swear once. You know. So it can't be them, can it? And we exclude people. I think sometimes we're more critical of people in the church than we are of people outside the church, or critical of each other. But can you see how, if we slip into that way of thinking, how that affects the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere that we operate in? And it's not a healthy one, is it? And God is saying, I've got something more, something better, something greater. And of course then, we start thinking people outside the church. And often what we do, you know, we think our people are so far from God. Sometimes we can think there's no chance for them. And then other people we think, oh, they're very needy people. Well, I could help them. And we have this odd scenario where we like to keep them as needy people so we can always help them. So we're always one better than them. So we actually put a limit on things. I even think the church can get a bit territorial at times. And I think this is influenced by the way the church has grown in this country, in the sense that, you know, the church is really interested in people that are close to it. Either people, you know, physically close to it in their locality, or they've got to be the other side of the world, you know, and that looks good as mission, you know. And yet when you go to work, you know, you travel about, or when you're about your daily lives, you go about. But you sort, it's almost as if, well, I needn't bother living out my Christian life when I'm outside Rugeley, because anybody I meet wouldn't come to our church. And you can actually slip into that way of thinking. And I think that is influenced sometimes by some traditional culture of the church. I'm just highlighting it, you know, so that, you know, not to slip into that. And sometimes, well, I know a couple. I've met a couple that over the last few months. I think they're a lovely couple. I go cycling with them, actually. And, you know, that they're retired, and they seem very comfortable. They don't seem needy. They, they've got it all sorted. And, I sort of hadn't got them on my radar as potential heroes for Christ, because I thought, they're just not needy, you know, they just didn't feature on my radar. Anyway, this week, we, through another circumstance basically, we ended up going to a funeral together. And we were driving out after the funeral. They were in my car. And she says, "Are you religious, Bob?" And it started a conversation, of course. And they started asking about the church. And I told them all about the church. And they'd got a history as well. Of, you know, well, my dad was a lay preacher or something, you know. And I started talking. And all of a sudden I realized, actually, these people potentially were so much closer to God than I'd actually thought. You sort of, in a sense, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And although these people looked very sorted, you know, I just felt God's love for them. And they're on my radar now, if you know what I mean. But I'd sort of excluded them beforehand. And yet they were asking. They were the ones asking. Can you see how our way of thinking, which is often cultivated by things that have gone on in the past or our culture, that influences the spiritual atmosphere that we operate in? And of course, you know, that can have a negative effect in the sense it can limit. It can limit our faith. It can limit what God can do. And I feel God is saying to us, "I've got something better for you. I've got something more, something greater." No doubt you'll recall not too long ago when Tony Wassell came and spoke to the church and he said we were a church that was ankle deep. And that was encouraging, wasn't it? You know, it was encouraging because those that are ankle deep are set to go knee deep. And it's encouraging. And yet I hear God saying to us now, don't sit at one level. Don't let this be your norm. Because I've got something more. I've got something greater. So we need to break, in a sense, from what has become normal to allow God to take us beyond the norm. I wonder if perhaps you could put some music on for us, Scott. What we need to do, what I felt God say, is that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to influence our thinking. We need to allow Him to saturate our minds, to saturate our hearts, to saturate us with His heavenly culture, so that we don't operate through the lens of our preconceived ideas and thought processes, so that no longer do we have a restrained spiritual atmosphere, but we have an open heaven, you know, one where God likes to be, one where He likes to operate. It's a bit like taking a clean sheet of paper and trying to ignore or dial down some of our methodologies that we've had in the past. And I felt even for, you know, what we're doing as a church, and I felt particularly for the directors, actually, that some of the strategies and things like that, that I'm sure people have thought and developed, I even felt God saying, "You need to dial that down a bit. I just want you to saturate in my kingdom strategy. It's to be all of God and not all of us." So we're just going to spend a few moments, perhaps you turn it up just a little bit, and we're just going to just wait on God. And I just want to encourage you. Just in a sense, you have your conversation with God. Think about people that you know that currently haven't responded yet to the gospel. Because God wants something more for them. Think about us as a church. God has something greater for us. As an individual, what's going on in your heart? Don't put excuses there. God has something better. So let's just wait on God just for a few moments. press into God. Just press into God. What are you saying? I just want to hear you, Lord God. I want to put down things that are in my mind and I want to hear you. Just encourage you to press into God. God say, but I just want to remind you that God is saying something better. I've got something more, something greater for you.
Yeah. You know, there are men and women of faith here. I believe God has spoken to you about maybe you need to take a step of faith. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, one of those, not me. Maybe you think, well, I don't know what I'm meant to be doing, Lord. And one of the things we were learning in the last couple of days, you know, sometimes when it comes to faith, God shows us what that step is. And that is just a case of, well, we got to step into that. But there are other times when we've got to say yes. That's the ignition of faith that's needed. We have to say yes. And when we say yes, Lord, I will do what you want me to do, then he shows us how we do it. So there are two different ways. Sometimes he'll show us that, and it's a case of stepping into that. Okay? But sometimes we're saying, Lord, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. And you're waiting for God to tell you, and he's saying, look, all I want you to do is say yes. Yes, I will do what you're asking of me, Father. And then he'll bring the revelation of how to do it. So I've just said to Bob, if you're looking for an answer to faith, if you're looking for a way through a circumstance that needs faith, then do you want to come up to the front here? Because that's a step. That's the first step. And we'll pray for you. If you don't, that's fine. I'm going to release people if that's okay. If you want refreshing, then please come up. I just want to thank the guys who clear up and also the Connect group that set up this week. We really did appreciate your time in doing that. But we are to be men and women of faith. And we should not discount ourselves. If we're discounting ourselves, that's a lie of the enemy. And this is God's kingdom. He's going to use someone like you and me to be a hero. Not a chocolate one. You're affecting the culture that you are in. But we need that Holy Spirit impartation to do that. So if God's been speaking to you about taking a step of faith, then I want you to come forward. If you're thinking, I don't know what that is, then maybe he's just waiting for you to say yes. Maybe you say, well, I haven't got a step of faith. Well, maybe you need to come forward and just say, Lord, yes, I'm here. What is it you want me to do in your kingdom? Because he doesn't discount any one of us. And that better he has got for us is going to come through you and me. Yeah. So can we just stand? And then I'm going to dismiss you. And if you want to come forward, you say, well, I've been prayed for already. And this is all about what God wants to do with us and through us. Maybe you just want to stay where you are. We just keep the music on. So you've got three choices, three steps. In faith, you're going to go have a cup of tea and coffee that Val and Dave have made it. In faith, you're going to step forward and say, Lord, help me to come into that which you're speaking on my heart. Or thirdly, maybe say, look, I don't know what it is you want me to do. Or I don't know how to get around this situation. Well, just come forward and say, yes, here I am, Lord. And he'll show you. And he'll impart into you that which is needed to take that step of faith. Amen. Amen.